Okay, we're going to set this brachos. We are on
Lamed Gimel
on the base. We're toward the bottom. We're by the words Ve'omer Rabbi Chanina, about 7-8 lines from the bottom. Omer Chanina, Hakol b'di Shemayim chutz m'yiras Shemayim. Famous expression, famous words, that everything is in the hands of Hashem, except for fearing Hashem. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Sefer Devarim, we'll be getting it in a couple of weeks. We'll hear this pasuk. V'yata Yisrael, this is Moshe speaking. Ma Hashem okech shalom yimach. He's speaking to the Jewish people. What does Hashem really ask? What request? What does He really demand? Ki'im liyira. The only thing He asks is to fear. That's the only thing. Fear Hashem, Yir Shemayim.
Well,
finished.
Let me ask you a question on that right off the though. If we say, and the philosophy of it now, it was Har Sinai, Chafaleya, Hadjigas.
Right.
It was possible to say, even Yir Shemayim was forced on us by somebody who wants to drop a mountain on your head, be afraid of him. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the thing of fear is good, but if you force their fear, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Isn't there a difference between somebody's, you know, you have no choice.
Yeah. The Marsha, we're going to see in a second, discusses two different levels of Yiras Shemayim.
Right.
One is the lower level, just having Yiras Shemayim because you know that you're going to be punished.
Right.
And then there's a higher level of Yiras Shemayim because you appreciate and acknowledge the greatness of Hashem.
But why do you have to fear then? It's just acknowledging. It's more out of a love rather than a fear. You know,
no matter which one you do, you're acknowledging God.
In other words, what is the word? What does it really mean to fear?
Right.
I don't think Yerem means fear. I think it means respect.
Kavod. Kavod Shemayim.
Why can't you say Yer?
What is the shorush of the word Yerem? What does Ra mean?
To see.
She needs to recognize. I recognize Hashem.
Could be.
The fact that if I recognize Hashem, but everybody says
you'll be more.
Look at Oslo, the way they defined it.
Yeah.
It's fear.
And that's literally what it means.
We are a God-fearing people, not a God-seeing people. We're known as a God-fearing people.
I mean that. Yir Shemayim means literally the fear of heaven.
Right.
It doesn't mean necessarily that you're walking around trembling and afraid. It means that we acknowledge that there's a God, and therefore we have certain responsibilities, and we do certain mitzvos, we do things, we don't do things, because of that recognition. That's what Yir Shemayim is. But again, there are different levels. Either I'm doing the mitzvos, so Yir Shemayim doesn't just mean I'm shaking all day. That means nothing. Our religion is a religion of action, not of just thought and feeling. So therefore, it's necessary, Yir Shemayim includes doing the mitzvot. The question is, why are you doing them? Are you doing it because you don't want to get punished? Or are you doing it because of you realize it's more meaningful? Right, which is a higher level. Right. So anyway, that's the expression now. Kol B'di Shemayim Chutz L'Yir Shemayim. If we look in Rashi, Rashi says, Kol B'di Shemayim, Kol Haval Adam. Everything that comes to a person is b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's in Hashem's hands. Everything that we have is because Hashem granted it to us. Kigom. Aruch, Kotzer, some of these things are obvious. Some things we may think are less obvious. How tall a person is, how short a person is, it's based on our DNA. It's not my fault that I'm 5'9" or whatever, just that's how I am. There's nothing I can do about it. So let's see it. On the Ashir, person's financial situation. Chochom Shota, person's ability to understand knowledge, love and shachar, the pigmentation of your skin. You know, what color are you? Hakol b'di Shemayim. That's obviously not something which is in our hands. The fact that we're born where we were born, to our family, our children, whatever. These are all things which are not in our hands. Clearly, a tzaddik v'rasha. When it comes to being a tzaddik, being a rasha, enu ba al yedei Shemayim. That's not in Hashem's hands. We have bechira. We have free will to do what we want to do in this world.
Certain people feel that it's in their DNA. Your father's a crook, you're going to become a crook because that's what you're taught.
Right.
And that's what you see. So that may not be in your hands.
You're more prone.
You may have a predilection.
Right.
And it's been, I think, documented. Psychologists, you know,
yeah.
People, their fathers and parents were, or whatever,
their children sometimes follow in their footsteps.
True. True. I mean, you're more likely.
Right, so that's... So
but it's not 100%. I don't have to do it. You could look at it and rebel against it and say, this is terrible. I know how terrible it is.
Exactly. I remember the
certainly
why
someone...
if everything is redation, right? And God could really control everything and anything he wanted to. Why does he allow for it?
That's a question, that's asked.
Question.
Yeah, and why they're poor people, what...
There's all people that... Go to Nishmas and read Nishmas word by word.
Yeah.
Okay, seriously. And they say everything is determined. Yeah, you can't rely on that of an individual. So you should feel that maybe the individual is the you can do it. But everything comes ultimately from God's prophet.
Right.
Why did he choose? Listen, you see in the earliest times, why does it have to be the people that had the top of you wouldn't have had the idol worshiping and all that. And if you want to take it one step further, it says in the Torah, what's going to happen in the future? Hard reason, Haribo. That you're going to do all these things. So Hashem knew that we were going to be dead if you want to stop it, otherwise it wouldn't have been there. And all the things that are going to happen to us.
Right. And the whole, I mean, that's.
Shema, Vayam Shamoa. If you're going to be good, you got good stuff. If not, you. So there's the we knew we were going to be bad.
We or Hashem?
Us, not okay. Hashem's not bad. We're bad,
okay.
But that we.
We're human.
Bad.
We fall. We make mistakes.
Where you, I'm saying to you, but it's known as even Moshe Rabbeinu fell. He made a mistake. He made the rock.
Okay.
And it's hard even to understand. Moshe did all these things. He did one little thing wrong. You say, and he did everything he could for Kavod Hashem. He did one little thing wrong. He made Israel now. I mean, it's frustrating as a person who says, if Moshe couldn't, how am I supposed to ever win over? Because I can't compare myself to Moshe.
Right.
Moshe did everything right. He did one little thing wrong. He fought. He did everything, and he was denied what he really wanted. So how is any Jew supposed to say, how am I ever gonna beat this? How am I ever gonna overcome if Moshe couldn't overcome?
Okay, that would be a debilitating way. You don't want to. That's. There's a few ways of understanding the whole idea of Moshe. But there's a bunch of questions I would just ask. But just to answer that one really quick. By Moshe Rabbeinu, some people explain that the Chet actually was by the Meraglim. He actually made a mistake even by the Meraglim. And we find that when the Jewish people were punished, it says that everyone was going to go to Eretz Yisrael except for Kalev and Yeshua. It was almost like already mentioned that Moshe was not going to do it. There was already some element of a mistake in the fact that he showed a lack of bitachon himself on some level by sending the spies, which he didn't have to do. What? There's different opinions like that. Some people explain that Moshe, the leadership necessary being in the desert is completely different than the leadership in Israel. Because the leadership in Israel, people, they had to fight wars, they had to really rely on themselves. In the Midbar, they relied on Hashem. So Moshe, as a leader, was viewed as a Midbar leader, as opposed to a leader for a completely different...
He still could have gotten any four wars.
Of course
Israel
he did.
Yeshua didn't conquer Israel because he conquered because Hashem wanted him to conquer. Hashem aided him. We don't want a war unless this... Look, Six-Day War, there's nothing happens unless... There's a divine intervention. The odds are always against us, yet we somehow, thank God, in the wars have always come out one way or another.
Right.
So you can say the same thing. What's it? We fought Amalek in the desert. We had four fights with Og or whatever. When we fought in the desert, Moshe was there.
Yeah.
We won because when Hashem
we
went up and Hashem told us not to fight, we were defeated.
Right.
So it shows that Hashem wanted it, Moshe also could have been the leader. I mean, that, say, you can't leave here only in the desert. It's harder to be, he went through a heck of a lot more than conquered Kibbutz or C.S. Mitzrayim. It was much harder in a way, fighting Pharaoh, than anything else, if you want to really want to get it.
Okay. I mean, whatever. He was also, by the way, 120 years old, so, I mean...
That was nothing for those years.
I guess, but whatever, there's... These are different approaches and answers. But to address the other question of like why does Hashem bring about bad things, so of course there's ultimately we can say Hashem knows what we don't know. You know, our thoughts are not like His, our ways are not like His ways are not like ours. We don't understand what Hashem's master plan is, and that's the ultimate answer of having a mun and bitachon. And but at the same time, when it comes to a bracha, we say a bracha on the good and we say a bracha on the bad. We're supposed to say a bracha, as we just mentioned in the Gemara before, that just as you make, you're not allowed to just say... Right, that's why that's why the Mishnah, which we're actually in, a person should not say in the Shema Nesra, V'al Tov Yizkor Shemecha, only on the good things I will mention your name. Because we have to make a bracha even on the bad. We say bracha on emes. Which basically what we're ultimately saying is we don't necessarily understand. To us, it's perceived as bad, and it may be, we may understand the good that could come out of it. There may be something positive to grow from the experience, or maybe never. But Hashem ultimately is the Dain Emes. Hashem understands a master plan that we, with our limited vision, cannot see. And therefore, we make a bracha. And therefore, Hashem does things which we don't always understand. But then Rashi then continues and says that when it comes to ourselves, whether we'll be a tzaddik or a rasha, these are our life choices. And we can't say that it's up to God. Ein ba al yedei shemayim. As zu masa b'yodah shel adam, this Rashi says is given to us. V'nasan l'fanav shnei drachim. We have two paths. V'yivchor lo yir shemayim. Choose your shemayim. So a person shouldn't say, well, I can't control, you know, I'm like a machine, I'm like a robot. Hashem is guiding me to do this, to sin, or to do... No, that's an excuse. It's not true. We have free will, right? So you have the ability to be whatever you want to be. And even if you are in an upbringing, which is not the most prominent of upbringings, that you have parents that are criminals or whatever they may be, regardless, you have the opportunity to change. Now, if a person doesn't change, we don't have a right to judge that person not being in their situation. You know, being in such a position, having such a terrible upbringing, who am I to judge such a person? At the same time, you as an individual have the ability to break away from that if you have the strength to do so. And this is what Moshe is telling us back in the Gemara, that all we have to do is one little thing, Yerushimayim. So where it says, what? Atu Yerushimayim Nilsus the Trasahi. Moshe is making it sound like it's a small, insignificant thing, fearing Hashem. It doesn't seem like such a small feat. Just be a tzaddik. Just be a tzaddik. What do you mean just be a tzaddik? That's not so simple. After all, it's not in Hashem's treasury. El oitzir shayir shemayim, that which Hashem treasures and stores away and puts in His vault and His safe, is zir shemayim. That's what He considers to be the most of value. Shnemer yiras Hashem he oitziro. That when it comes to fearing Hashem, that is in His storage houses. This is in His treasuries. So we see that yir shemayim is really not such a simple feat. And yet Moshe says, oh, what does Hashem ask from you, Yisrael, except to fear Him? What do you mean? It's a one thing, but it's not a little thing. It's a huge thing. Verses in, Lagami Moshe Milsa's atrocity. You have to think about the person who's saying it. Moshe Rabbeinu was a big tzaddik. So to him, it was nothing. It's nothing. Because he already accomplished Yer Shemayim. So for him, he was able to easily say that it was something small. The Yom Rav Chanina, Moshel Adam, Shemavakshim Imenu Kli Gadol. If we would compare it to a person who is searching for something, and he desires something which is very expensive or something big, but if he already has it, don't look a kli katan. It's seemingly insignificant. Once you have it, you no longer look at it as it's something impossible to achieve. You have it, so it's once you have it, it's like, yeah, it's no big deal. It's a kli katan. That's what Moshe was. Moshe had this kli gadol, so therefore he looked at it, it was like nothing. Katan, the aim will don't look a kli gadol. If you have something small and you don't have it, it's going to look huge. It's very challenging for you to be able to get it. And therefore, it looks big. So therefore, this is how the Gemara explains that Moshe Rabbeinu, it was very simple. Because after all, he had Yer Shemayim. And therefore, he in fact says it's a milsa, it's a trust, it's a small thing. So on this, the Marsha asked the question, okay, great. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not talking to himself. He's talking to us, right? He's talking to us. And if he's talking to us, so how can he still say it's a small thing? Maybe it's a small thing to him. It's not a small thing to us. So Marsha then goes into there's the different levels, as we already discussed, of Yiras Shemayim. And the way that the Marsha reads this is that, in fact, Moshe is requesting that we should have fear of Hashem. And even the higher level of Yiras Shemayim. When the Gemara asks the question, how is it such a small thing? So the way the Marsha reads this line of the Gemara, very interesting, it says, "It legavi Moshe milsas atrasihi." That by Moshe, in other words, if you live in a generation where there's a Moshe Rabbeinu, and you could see someone such as a Moshe Rabbeinu, and all the things that they've accomplished in spirituality, in Ruchnius, in their accomplishments in Yiras Shemayim, so once you have that role model, such as a Moshe Rabbeinu, milsas atrasa, it becomes easier. When there's no one that has it, then it's very challenging. But by Moshe, the fact that Moshe had it, we could look at him for guidance of how it can be achieved. We see that since someone, even though it was a Moshe Rabbeinu, was able to accomplish the Yiras Shemayim that he had, so at least we have something to look up to. We have something that we could strive for, strive toward. And therefore, that's how people it's explained. Since Moshe himself had it, therefore, by having a Moshe as our leader, milsas atrasihi. Yiras Shemayim is a small thing, which obviously, in the absence of a leader, the loss of a leader is not just the loss of the leader, it's a loss for ourselves on a personal level, because we don't have that guidance, that moral compass that we had before in our lives. So that's one way it's explained. I explain also another shot, is that Yiras Shemayim really is a huge thing. But in all different things in life, which are huge obstacles, challenges, the way to accomplish those things is by doing them small, by being doimel of kekli katan, that's looking at it in small pieces, instead of saying, you know, I can't do this, it's impossible. You know, we find this by people who try to quit smoking, people who have all different addictions, lose weight. So a person says, I can't lose 100 pounds. So the goal isn't, if you're going to say, I can't lose 100 pounds, then you're not going to. But what you have to do is you say, today I'm going... I'll say the same. Today, I'm going to exercise. Today, I'm going to lose a pound. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, I'll worry about it tomorrow. Today, I'm focusing on today. And then afterwards, you'll have accomplished. So, by looking at the way that Moshe looked at Yiras Shemayim was a milsas atrasa. Looking at the small pieces. Don't look at this huge monster of Yiras Shemayim. How could I ever accomplish what Moshe accomplished? Milsas atrasihi. Look upon the small little things. Look upon it in the little pieces. Doing one mitzvah at a time. Do one thing at a time. By looking at it in a small fashion, by focusing on it in small increments, then you'll be able to accomplish. That's the reason why there's a mashal. The mashal says, what is the purpose of this mashal? The parable says, the person who is mavakshi mimenu kligolov. You want to accomplish something huge. So v'yeshlo to accomplish it, doimulov kekli katan. You had to have looked upon it like it was small. You have to look at it in small pieces. That's how I interpret it. Katan v'einlo. But when a person is unable to accomplish something, is doimulov kekli gadol, because you look too much at the big picture. You can't look at the kli gadol. You have to look at it in small parts. And when a person looks at just, I'm going to accomplish today. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to be on a diet for the next 6 months. I'm going to be on a diet today. That's it. I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow, whatever. I'll worry about it then. And then when a person does that, then you can take it day by day, and then you'll have accomplished after the 6 months. If a person says, I can't 6 months without this, without that. How can I change my habits? Then it'll be harder for you to accomplish. That's how I understand it. Okay. Let's see the next piece of Gemara. Moidim moidim mishaskenus. We're not going to be able to finish this piece. But the question about repeating words. The person allowed to repeat words during the Shema, so clearly it's brought down, or during Modim. So the Gemara said that Modim moidim mishaskenus. If a person repeats the Modim, they have to silence them, the Shemot Esrei. We don't allow them to say such a thing. And we said, because it looks like Nixe Kishtira Shuyos. It looks like there's two deities, like you're davening to God A and God B over here. Why do you have to say the same thing twice? Hashem gets the message the first time, you don't have to repeat it. So, therefore, we silence them. So, what exactly does this mean? So the Gemara says like this, Omer Avzera, which obviously gets into the thought, the question of how do we find numerous kehilos that they're repeating this word, and they're singing this, and they repeat this. Okay. So that's obviously something that needs to be dealt with, and this is the place to deal with it. Omer Avzera, Kol Omer Shema Shema Ka'im Moda Moda. Anyone who repeats the Shema, it's comparable to repeating Modim Dami. It's comparable to. Which means that if a person says Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad twice, so we also silence the person. It's not only by the Shema Nesra, it's also by Kriya Shema. So Mesa, I'll ask you a question. Hakriya Shema, and the question of course, this is, the Gemara only brings down Shema and Modim. And there's a question whether or not it's referring to specifically these two things, and other words can be repeated, or these are just giving examples. Okay, that's one of the questions the post can grapple with. Meisvei Hakriya Shema the koif. Person says the Shema and you say it again. Koifel, like person has to pay twice. So too you repeat it. Hari zeh meguna. It's something which is repulsive. It's disgusting. It's not nice. But all we do is say it's meguna hu dehabi. All we say is we frown upon such behavior, repeating. We're not going to go and actively silence the person, embarrass the person, say, stop! So, what do? Do we silence the person, or do we just, we don't do anything, we say, this guy is not doing something proper. So, Hokasha, Hadi Arma Milsa Milsa Vatanila, Hadi Arma Psuka Psuka Vatanila. One is in the situation where he repeats Psuka, another time is when he repeats words. Okay. And therefore, we'll have to understand what that answer is in a second. Let's just finish to the Mishnah. So, Omer l'Rapapa l'Abaye. So Rapapa says, well, the fact that a person repeats may not be a bad thing, but Dilma mi korlu chivin daite. Maybe the person just didn't have kavana the first time he said it. So chivin daite. The second time he had kavana, so he wanted to make sure he had kavana, so he repeated it. So Omer l'Ei. So on this Abaye responded in a sharp fashion, and he said, Chavrusa klapi maila, klapi shemaya miika. Is he a chavrus? Is he a friend with Hashem that he can just speak whenever he wants? He doesn't have to be, as Rashi says, zahir b'tfilaso. He doesn't have to be careful when he davens the first time. If he didn't have kavanah from the onset, literally means we're going to hit him with the hammer of a blacksmith until he has kavanah. Which basically doesn't mean obviously we're going to beat him up. But the point is, take davening seriously. So what exactly is the Gemara's answer that one is when we repeat words and one is when we repeat sentences, the whole pasuk? So we look in Rashi on the previous Amin Lam Gimel Beis on the bottom, Milsa Milsa V'Tanila. So Rashi, and we'll see if everyone agrees to this Rashi. Rashi says Kol Teva Teva. If he repeats just a word here and a word there, Chayzer V'Shein. He repeats a word here, he says a word again. Megunehav. It looks silly. Okay, he's saying Shema, Shema, Yisrael, Shema. Modim anach, modim, modim anach, delach. But he's not saying a whole sentence. So when he says, just repeats a word, it looks silly. It's repulsive. It's wrong. We're in the Rashi and Lamed Gimel Beis. But Shesuki lo mishaskinen le. We're not going to silence him. Shein ze daimel mekabulo shdi malchios. Clearly he's not davening to two kings because he's only saying an extra word, right? Ella, but what does it look like? Lemus light saints. It looks like he is making a joke, a mockery, scoffing the dam. Amar pasuk shalim b'taniwa. But if you say a whole pasuk and you repeat that whole pasuk, then mishaskinen le, then we in fact will silence him. The mixe kishnir shuyes, because in that situation it has the appearance as though he's actually davening to two.
How do you justify the modern rabbah and the amida of shmon esrei? If I said modern first time,
right?
Am I repeating? I mean, if I repeat that, maybe I should repeat
Rafael too. Right. So the Mefarshim explained that when it comes to the modem the Rabbanon, the truth is the Chazar Sashat is in the event that a person was unable to say. Right. So the question is, so why if if we have a principle of Shemir Ka'ina, so then why do you have to say Moedim Karabanam? It's because when it comes to Moedim, we're thanking Kadosh Baruch Hu. So for our Karas HaTov, it cannot be done only de Shliach. You have to do it yourself. When it comes to thanking someone, you know, say, can you do me a favor? Could you thank this person on my behalf? No, you go to the person personally and thank them. So that's when it comes to Moedim Darabanan, that we personally have to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough that the Shliach Tzibur do it. Yeah, I know, but the reality is that the purpose of the Chazaras HaShatz was instituted for those that couldn't say, and therefore, once it's been instituted, so therefore we all go through the motions of as though it's for ourselves. Right? Not that we're fulfilling our mitzvah by listening to the Chazan, but once the modem is said, we also have a chiyuv to say it. That's how they explain it. So but this is how Rashi interprets it. When it comes to, and we're not going to be able to finish this whole piece, there's a lot more to discuss, we'll conclude by seeing the Tosfos on Lama Dal Amud Aleph. But at least Rashi says that when it comes to repeating a word, it's not the end of the world, not so bad. So you repeat a word, it's considered maguna, it's not nice, but we're not going to silence you. But if a person repeats psukim, a whole sentence, another sentence, then we silence them, because then it looks bad. It looks like you're davening to more than one God. Lama Dalad Manav. Let's see both of these Tosas. First, the top Tosas says, Omer Modim Modim Mishaskin and Oso. And there's a little asterisk because it really is more appropriately should be on the previous Amud. But he brings down the Yerushalmi, Adod the Tema Betsibor Abu B'yachid Tachanunim Heim. So, interestingly enough, he says that he makes a distinction when it comes to repeating words or sentences, doing it yourself and doing it with sibor b'kol rum, out loud. So the whole issue is doing it out loud because nichsek shnei reshuyos. It looks like you're down to another God. But if you're doing it by yourself, you know what you're really doing. And therefore, if you want to say a pasuk again, a pasuk which resonates, something which really is meaningful to you, so you can say the pasuk again and again and again.
Why
that's considered tachanunim. That's what Tosfos says. So the next Tosfos discusses that. Let's just see this next Tosfos. There's more next week. Next week we'll see the in halacha and things. So look at this last Tosfos. Second Tosfos one. Omer psuka psuka b'kafu. So the Gemara doesn't explain the answer. All it says is you repeat psukim, you repeat words. It doesn't say which one is worse than the other. So Rashi says it's worse to repeat the whole pasuk. However, the Rebbeinu Chananel has a different opinion. So first he quotes Rashi, Perasha Kuntres, the notebook, which is Rashi. So when you repeat psukim, then you have to, it looks bad. It looks really bad. It looks like then you silence them. Perasha Rebbeinu Chananel mafarish ivcha. Rebbeinu Chananel says the opposite. Psuka psuka emeshaskin nosa mia maguna habi. For whatever reason, the Rebbeinu Chananel says that if you repeat a pasuk, that is maguna, but we don't silence the person. If a person repeats a word, then we silence them. Obviously, halacha, the question is going to be, who do we passim like? Or do we passim like both? That you should not repeat words or psukim, because otherwise we should silence them. We won't be able to get to that today, but let's just finish this tosis. Achloshen a gemara lo mashma. A gemara is not necessarily mashma like this. Perish like this explanation. The oysim mini adam shaimim beis or gimel pa'amim shma yisrael biyom kippurim mishaskin and osa. Apparently, you would have to silence these people that repeat certain sentences. Shema we only say once, but there are other things that, by the end of Ne'ilah that we say more than once, as Tosfos is going to explain. That he's going to say that as well. So a perish ben chananel maguna miyahavi, that's considered to be not good. Oshem or perhaps in lochlish rakashikur kriyishma ba'anois. Perhaps it's only referring to, not referring to the Shema in general, when you say it in all other times. It's referring to saying the kriyishma in its proper time. That's the issue. A makabel of omalchus shemaim, the time you've been makabel of shemaim, that's when you can't repeat word, you can't repeat psukim. However, during other times which were instituted in our davening, it's not an issue. We call makom toishel loymer ach masha oimrim Hashem hu elokim zayin pa'amim. So you ask the question at the very end. We say it seven times Hashem hu elokim. How could we say it seven times? Yom Kippurim, Yom Rava, keneged zayin rekim Yom Rava, the seventh day of Sukkot, right? Shana Rabbah, Keneged Zayin Rekiim, Keneged the seven heavens. Meshavchin Leboyre, we're actually not referring to davening to seven gods. We're talking to Hashem, who is elevate going up to the seventh heaven. He was here by Neil, and he's going up by each of the Hashem Elohim, as though Ki'ilu Hashem Shechina is going up. And Meshavchin Leboyre, Shehudaru Lamal Mezayin, we're praising Hashem who lives and resides above those seven Rikios, which, for those that want to know what the seven are, the second parak of Chagiga, which we learned before. Minhag Kashru, it's a good minhag. V'gamatzinu b'kar shtei pa'amim Hashem hu Elokim gabi Eliyahu. So there are certain places where we repeat words, or repeat psukim, but there's a reason behind it. There's a reason behind it, then it's okay. But if there's no logic behind it, then it's an issue. So again, the question is, how are we able to repeat words? And also, la halacha, what do we pass them like? That's something we'll see.